Hi, my name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at Trillium. I have a friend of mine who's got a crusty exterior, you know, kind of a little difficult, a little bit argumentative, a little gruff in nature. People kind of a little intimidated by him. Hi, my name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at Trillium. I have a friend of mine who's got a crusty exterior, you know, kind of a little difficult, a little bit argumentative, a little gruff in nature. People kind of a little intimidated by him. You know somebody like that? Have you ever met someone like that? Are you that person? And I've been thinking, what is that crusty nature all about? I recently came across a survey of the top 10 fears that people have. And the number one was fear of public speaking, and fear of death, fear of spiders, all the way down to the number 10, fear of thunder and lightning. You know, that's an impressive list of fears, but I think people's first fear is none of those. I think their first fear is that immense, generous nature that lives with inside of them. I think people are really afraid of that part of themselves. I think we keep that part of ourselves locked up inside, lest others discover the truth about us and use it against us. I mean, if your spouse or your kids or your parents or your siblings or neighbors or your work colleagues knew just how generous you were, well, where would that take you? Where would you end up with that? They just run right over you. You know, so we keep it locked away under that kind of gruff, crusty exterior that most of us have, to some extent at least. And we try to forget about it in ourselves too. We don't really want to remember that part of ourselves because we're afraid of where it might take us. Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, and they were kind of a crusty church. There were lots of crusty churches around. They were one of them. And he was using the church north of them in Macedonia as an example of what it meant to be generous in nature. See, a calamity had happened back in Jerusalem in Judea, a natural disaster. Now, those churches back there were struggling under incredible challenges and difficulties. And the call went out to all the churches in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea for help from the mother church. And now these churches were responding, but some maybe with not a lot of zeal to them. And the Macedonian church had opened their arms, but the Corinthian church, like many others, was keeping their arms tight. They were hiding behind their crusty nature. And Paul was trying to use the story of the Macedonians not to guilt them into being more generous, but to be inspiring them to allow something in them to get expressed outwards. You know, that generous nature that lives within us, the scriptures say, is that a God identity in us. It's God's nature in us. It's part of God's extension to who we are. You know, when we hide it away or we keep it under a crusty exterior, we are, in a sense, shortchanging ourselves. We're missing out on something so incredibly important. And when we allow it to be expressed, unleashed, even just a little bit more than we have in the past, then something powerful takes shape in us, and a blessing moves out through us, and something mysterious and wonderful takes shape in our lives and in the world around us. And I think we look around in a world that's starving for generosity and generous expressions, and we're always inspired when we hear those stories and we see them in the news or even told to us by friends. Paul reminds the disciples that to follow Christ is to really embrace that generous nature and allow it to get out, to unshackle, to get free, to open the crack just a little bit wider to that generous expression. He talks about how Jesus was rich and became poor so that we could be rich. And there is our greatest fear. For were we to reenact Jesus' story within our own, we who are rich would become poor so that others might be rich. And where would that leave us? Paul, of course, knows that the story doesn't end there for Jesus or for us. That there is that moment of resurrection that comes, restoration, a promise that life will be given back to us even greater than we could ever imagine. That when that blessing of generosity gets moving in and through us, a resurrection will come that will reveal to us the truth of who we really are. That crusty friend of mine, you know, the one who is difficult and and argumentative and challenging to be with. I saw this happen for him when one of his neighbors became really sick, and all of a sudden, beneath that crusty nature was this incredibly generous, loving heart. That's what he'd been hiding all along. That's what we all hide. And I saw this beautiful expression of love through his care of his neighbor. And I know for sure that that's possible for us too. The Corinthian church, we'll never hear their story in the end, but we do see it revealed and reenacted in our own.
Did we all get the concept of the video? Yeah. That's good. Thank you so much. Before I say anything, I want to actually list the top 10 fears in the world, if that's fine. The first one is acrophobia, the fear of heights. The second is aerophobia, the fear of flying. Third one is acanophobia, the fear of spiders. Fourth is ophidiophobia, that's the fear of snakes. Fifth is cyanophobia, that's the fear of dogs. Sixth is trypanophobia, and this is the fear of injections. Seventh is astrophobia, which is the fear of thunder or lightning. Eighth is agoraphobia, which is the fear of being alone in a situation or place where escape might be difficult. Ninth is mysophobia, which is the excessive fear of germs or dirt. And the tenth is social phobia, or social anxiety disorder, which is the fear of the social situations. I'm telling you this just because if you don't learn anything from me today, at least you know some of the top 10 fears in the world. But when I was watching Mark's video, Mark said he thinks the top fear in the world is, you know, the fear of what is within you. Maybe I don't agree with him. I don't know. When I was watching it, the first thing that came to mind is, where is the fear of God? Because as a Christian or as a believer, I believe that's the first thing that comes to mind. I don't know. Maybe for you it's different. But I believe everyone in church right now has the fear of God in mind, right? Everyone has the fear of God. We often talk about generosity as if it's about money or, you know, material things. But what Mark said today made it pretty clear that generosity is bigger than that. It's about how open we are with our time, our energy, our encouragement, and even our vulnerability. What struck me most was the idea that we all have this generous nature inside of us. It's part of the image that God has instilled in us. But many of us keep it locked away. Why? Is it because we're scared that generosity is risky? Are we scared that when we give ourselves our compassion or our attention, when we give ourselves trust, we open ourselves to being taken advantage of? I've been taken advantage of in the past. It's not the best. Everyone knows that. But yet, what happens when you do not give out the trust or the attention? What happens when you hold back? you begin to hate yourself. You know, it's a sort of protection, right? If you don't open yourself onto others, you know, you're not liable to be put astray or, you know, to be backstabbed by someone you trusted. But that gives us the crusty interior that Mark was talking about, the crusty exterior, sorry. Because many of us keep ourselves locked away, and that just makes us crusty. We miss out on connections, on joy. We miss out on being part of something bigger. We miss the resurrection, the personal renewal, that something can happen when we lean into generosity, even when it's uncomfortable. The story of the Macedonian church is a beautiful example. They didn't give out of excess, they gave out of poverty. And somehow, that made their generosity even more powerful. I can have $1 billion and give out 100,000. It doesn't really mean much. But what happens when I have $1,000 and I give out 500? It wasn't about their wealth, but it was about their heart. It was about their trust in something greater than themselves. And I think that that's where fear breaks down. Because when we realize that generosity isn't something we manufacture, it's something we release into the environment. Generosity is already there. Just because God is in us means there's generosity in us. We are what? The image of God. And God's nature is generosity. Overflowing, relentless, and transforming. So the question I'm left with is, what part of myself have I been holding back because of fear? Like, what's that one thing you do not want to do because you're scared? Are you afraid of talking to someone because you don't want to build a connection? You're scared of what might happen at the end of it? Is there someone in my life who needs kindness, generosity, and I've been too cautious, I've been too gatekept to share that generosity with them? Is there a yes, YES, three letters? Is there a yes that God is calling me to say that I haven't said? Mark said the world is starving of generosity. And maybe, just maybe, we can be the change. As we go from this place today, let us carry the spirit of generosity in our hearts. May we be bold in giving and opening ourselves unto others, unto ourselves. Last week I said something about, what is it that you're booing yourself? What is that one thing you're saying, oh, I can't do it because I wouldn't do it well? It's synonymous to what I'm saying today. Let us carry the spirit of generosity. You know, tell yourself, I'll try to do this and actually accomplish that. Remember the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I didn't read it today, but it says, God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you. Let your life be a testament unto the word of God. Let it be a testament unto the transformative power of open hands and open hearts. Jesus welcomed the little children with open hearts. Let that be a testament of the word of God. May the God who pours out grace without measures fill you with generosity and the courage to show such generosity. May the small acts of kindness ripple outwards, bringing connection and joy into our lives. And many may discover in the giving, in the act of giving, the profound truth that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I pray for us today that we grow in peace, we live generously, and that we trust in that one God who is faithful.